Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. You and I are in a huddle this week talking about creeps, are we not?
Yes, we are.
That is the terminology.
Is
in
it?
Football. Yes, it is.
I believe you.
Sonia likes baseball. I used to love football. American football, that is. And we are the podcast that talks about creeps from the past to the present. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just a shout out at the beginning, because I never remember to say this soon enough. We use salty language in this program, so if you don't like curse words, you need to get the fuck out.
We're not for you, because fuck yeah, we swear.
We swear. You can follow us on Facebook. We kind of have a basic Facebook page, but we don't really check that out. We do have a Facebook group. It's a private group you have to ask to join. So be sure to follow us there at What a Creep Podcast. Ask to join. And if you don't look like a creep, we'll have you come on in. That sounds filthy, doesn't it? Anyway.
Well, it sounds like we're judging you on your looks, but we're really judging you on your profile.
If yes.
If you look like you stormed the Capitol, we're not going to let you in.
That's that. You can follow us on Twitter at CreepPod, because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We also have an Instagram page, What a Creep Podcast. And we also have a blog, a website. Sonia, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's at whatacreeppodcast.com. And you can go there and find all of our past episodes. It's everything you ever wanted to know about What a Creep Podcast, but we're afraid to ask. And it's got a link to our merch shop where you can get our logo. It's really cute. It's adorable. Everybody drink, and you can get t-shirts and mugs and masks and journals, tote bags. It's awesome.
We also have a Patreon page if you want to follow us there. And we want to thank the latest people who joined: Leslie, Shira, Katie, Giancarlo, and Emma and Nicole. Thank you guys so much. We put out bonus episodes, extra content out there, helps us keep the lights on. And so we really thank you so much for joining the Patreon group. Patreon page.
Wait,
I mean,
wait, you have lights?
Flickering as they are. Yes.
Seriously, though, thank you so much for doing that. We really, really appreciate it.
And also, you guys, for leaving us nice reviews on iTunes. We so, so appreciate that. So I want to give a shout out to Rocky For Real, Kay Cookie, Melinda, Wisconsin Mom. Thank you guys so much for leaving 5-star reviews in iTunes. We super appreciate it. And if you would like some stickers, wherever you are in the world, don't be shy. Ask us for stickers. Send us your address at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Just spell that all out. We'll drop them in the mail for you. And I think I talked about everything. Did I not, Sonia?
I think that's everything.
So if you're new to the show, what happens is we each take a turn talking about a creep. By the way, this is our season finale for season 9.
Season 10.
Season 10. Oh, my God. I don't even know
where
I am.
Where does it go?
I don't know. So that means the next episode will be the new season, and we're going to do a few different creeps in the news. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. But Sonia, tell them about today's creep.
Today, we are going to be talking about Brett Favre. Here are the sources for the episode. USA Today, New York Times, Deadspin, ABC News, CBS Sports, USA Today, Sports Illustrated, Mississippi Today, and Wikipedia.
Excellent.
Do you know who Brett Favre is?
Yes, I do, because I used to follow football very closely. And also, he's in the movie There's Something About Mary.
That's pretty much what I knew about Brett Favre, because I don't pay attention to football. Football's not my jam. I like baseball, but I know that he's a creep. All right. So he is a retired football quarterback who played for the NFL for 20 seasons. That's a long time for the NFL.
Fucking A, yeah.
That's a lot of concussions. He mainly played with the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. He played 321 consecutive starts from 1992 to 2010. That is the most in league history.
Jesus.
I know. He was also the first NFL quarterback to obtain 70,000 yards, 10,000 passes, 6,000 completions, 500 touchdowns, 200 wins, and beat all 32 teams in the NFL.
Wow.
I think all of that comes with playing for 20 seasons.
It helps, but yeah.
Yeah. He also holds the league records for the most interceptions, time sacked, and fumbles, LOL. That also comes with playing for 20 seasons.
Yeah.
And he has been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That was in 2016. He's also a creep who sends unsolicited dick pics and sexually harasses women. So let's start at the beginning. Brett Lorenzo Favre was born October 10th, 1969 in Gulfport, Mississippi. He's the second of four kids. His parents are Bonita Ann and Irving Ernest Favre, and they both worked as school teachers in the Hancock County School District. Brett was always a jock. He took to sports very early in life. He played football and baseball. Especially when he started high school, he went to the Hancock North Central High School, and he was like a baseball and football star. He went to Southern Mississippi University on a football scholarship, where he started as a seventh string quarterback. That
really?
Seems really far back in the lineup. But he worked really hard, and he eventually began starting games, and he did really well. He did really well there. On July 14th, 1990, right before the start of his senior year at Southern Miss, he was involved in a nearly fatal car accident. He lost control of his car. It flipped three times and hit a tree.
Jesus, what was he doing?
I know. He was not drunk. He just lost control of the car. Isn't that crazy? I couldn't find how fast he was going, but damn.
That's my recurring nightmare.
Really?
I'm in the backseat of a car. Recurring. I'm in the backseat of a car. It's out of control. Nobody's at the wheel. I finally get to it. And sometimes I get to it. I reach down and it's a stick shift. And I do not know how to drive a stick shift.
You should learn how to drive a stick shift. Maybe that'll help.
There's something I need to learn. It could be phallic.
Also, there's definitely something in that dream about you not having control.
Exactly. Exactly.
For sure. I'm a big believer in that stuff, by the way. Your brain is processing shit. You're working shit out when you dream. Mm-hmm. So pay attention. All right. That's the end of my new AG talk. So after his accident, doctors removed 30 inches from his small intestine.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. I'm like, that doesn't sound very small, but okay. 6 weeks after his accident, he was back on the field playing.
What was he like, 20, 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, you heal so goddamn quickly when you're young.
I know, right?
It's infuriating.
I caught my foot on a bench 3 years ago, and it still hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, I had surgery a few months ago, and if I were like a 20-year-old, it would have been nothing. I would snap right out of it. No.
No, my foot will never get better.
Yeah.
And all I did was caught it on a bench. That's it. So he actually won that game, and it kind of made him like a, you know, bit of a superstar. He graduated with a teaching degree with an emphasis in special education University of Southern Miss, which I thought was nice. And you know what? I'm going to scroll all the way down here at the end, because we do like to point out when our creeps do good things. So this is maybe a good point for me to acknowledge these things. He actually did like start a foundation in 1996 that has donated more than $2 million to charities in Mississippi and in Wisconsin. He's also very active in the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he's been known to grant requests all the time for kids that want to meet him. None of this changes the fact that he's a creep, but
yeah.
I felt like this is a good spot to call that out. All right, back up to the top. Yeah, so he got his degree in special education, University of Mississippi. After graduation, he was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, and he signed a three-year, $1.4 million contract with a signing bonus of $350,000.
Nothing.
And it's just nothing. The Falcons coach, he didn't like Brett Favre. He thought he wasn't impressed, and he wasn't happy that they spent that money, and he didn't really play him. And so he only played a few times that season. Oh, he threw four passes and they were intercepted twice. But Brett kind of felt he kind of failed upwards, because for no reason that I could find, the following year, the Green Bay Packers traded their first round pick to the Falcons in exchange for Brett Favre. I don't know why. They clearly saw something in him that nobody else saw. And they were right. Like, he played 16 seasons for Green Bay, and during that time, he was the first and only NFL player to win three consecutive MVP awards. He went to the Super Bowl twice, and they won one of those times. And he started every Packers game from September 20th, 1992 to January 20th, 2008. That's a streak of 253 games. Wow. Football is right. Violent as fuck. So I'm impressed. He's a creep, yeah. But I'm still impressed.
His physical prowess is very impressive.
Yeah, exactly. In 1996... Brett Favre was temporarily banned from the NFL after he admitted he was addicted to Vicodin, and he spent 46 days at a drug rehab center for the start of the season. It was a really serious addiction, and he actually suffered seizures that could have been deadly. I know. And by the way, I don't think this makes him a creep.
No. I was just going to say, he must have been in a lot of pain from that surgery, though, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, these football players,
yeah. Football's rough.
Super rough. And during this time when he was taking Vicodin, he was drinking a lot. It was pretty well, like, he was a womanizer. Like, he was just fucking his way all over.
He's a womanizer.
But I should mention, he's married. So during his run with the Packers, he married Deanna Tynes. This was in July 1996. They have two daughters, one named Brittany, one named Brie Lee, I think. Deanna and Brett have actually known each other since they were kids, and they began dating in high school. At age 20, Deanna became pregnant, and she gave birth to his daughter. That was in February 1989, but the couple didn't stay together at first, and she stayed in Mississippi, and he went to Wisconsin to play for the Packers. And she put herself through college. She worked various jobs, including at one point she worked for a collection agency. That job would suck.
I bet she's called me.
She's 100% called me. Are you ever going to pay off your student loan? Never.
I'm actually a roommate. She's not home right now, but I'll leave a message.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would never answer my phone back in the day.
I know. And I had a roommate that always answered the phone, like on the first ring. She goes, Oh yeah, no, she's here. She's here. Marco, what's wrong?
And you're like, fuck off.
Fuck don't. Off.
So eventually she graduated from the University of Southern Mississippi with a degree in exercise science. It's a science.
Hey, I have one too.
I know. It's a science.
It's tough.
But eventually they got back together, and she did move to Green Bay, Wisconsin to live with him in 1995. And she has said that while he was drinking and taking pills, he often ignored her and their daughter and described him as, quote, loud, rough, and often hateful.
Yeah.
I know. By the way, they're still married. In 1999, the couple split again over his drinking problem. And like I said, he was dicking around. He was doing all kinds of, it's well known. After she threatened to permanently leave him, that's when he went into rehab for a second time. And he has reportedly not had a drink since.
Okay, that's good.
Which is good. And honestly, I just want to say, his wife sounds like kind of a badass. I think she's a little religious, and that's not my jam, but that doesn't make her a creep. And I'm not sure why she has stayed with him. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2004. And after she went through her treatment and she's cancer free now, she created the Deanna Favre Hope Foundation, and it supports breast cancer education, breast imaging, services for women, including those who are like really medically underserved. So that's fucking rad. I don't know why she's still with this guy.
She loves him.
She must really love him.
She loves him, you know?
Yeah. So on March 4th, 2008, Brett formally announced his retirement. He did a big press conference and he openly wept and he was like, I'm leaving the NFL. And he said, I know I can play, but I don't think I want to. And that's really what it comes down to. Narrator's voice. He didn't retire. A few months later, he changed his mind and he asked the Packers to take him back and let him play quarterback again. And they turned him down. They had actually already committed to another quarterback named Aaron Rodgers. I've heard is actually pretty good guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I heard he's done a lot for up in Chico Paradise area, which was really hit by the fires for some reason. He's taken them under his wing and he's done a lot for them. So I don't know everything about Aaron Rodgers because I don't know shit about football.
Isn't he engaged to Shailene Woodley or whatever her name is?
Oh, is he?
I think he is.
Oh, all right. We're like, people are now yelling at their podcast app. They're like, no, you're thinking of someone else. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers has been waiting for his time to shine and it was his turn.
Yeah.
So Brett asked to be released to play for another team. And at first the Packers were like, nah. And then there was all this back and forth that apparently only football fans would care about. And eventually he landed at the New York Jets and he totally stunk up. Yeah, he stunk up the joint there. And then he announced that he was retiring. Narrator's voice, he didn't retire again. Brett Favre signed with the Minnesota Vikings. And he actually had a pretty good season. They advanced to the championship game, but they lost. And it was during this final season. So this is 2010. We're up to 2010. This is when news got out that Brett had been, quote, leaving inappropriate voicemails and sending dick pics to Jets game day host Jen Stedger. Sorry, you know, I can't pronounce. I'm going to call her Jen because that's her first name. During the 2008 season, she actually didn't come out right away because she was very rightly afraid of losing her job.
Yeah.
She talked to a reporter at Deadspin. She played the voicemails for him and she didn't ask for these.
Like, she's just doing her job.
Yeah. They were not dating. They had no relationship. And it turned out she had never even met him. She was just someone who worked for the Packers for the Jets. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You are correct.
I'm in New York. When something fucked up happens with the Giants or the Jets, we hear about it right away.
These were 100% unsolicited dick pics. Have you ever received a dick pic, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. With ginger pubes. And I'm not against gingers, but it was just not... I don't want one.
All right, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to speak for all women.
Right.
I can only speak for the women I've talked to. I have never met a woman who wants a dick pic.
No. You want a picture of the dog or the cat or their smile. Right?
Yes.
The pets, the drinks, or the smile. Like, that's what I want.
I've never met a woman who's like, I wish he would send me a dick pic. You know what I could go for? A picture of some dude's junk. No woman I've met has that. Now, there might be women who are like, I'm into it. I want to see what I'm dealing with here. Whatever. That's fine. I'm just saying. I've had friends that I have never received one. I have friends that have received them. And she's like, I don't even know what to do. And I was like, ask him what Instagram filter he's using. That's what I would do. Fuck these guys. They're gross. So Jen had actually, he texted her really inappropriate things. She rejected his advances. And she's like, because he's married. She's like, he's married.
Right.
And she's like, I don't want to come forward because she didn't want to lose her job. And she was right, you know, to do that because we're going to learn more about that in a second. She said that the texts were kind of flirty at first. And then they then it started to be these really gross dick pics, and some of them were him masturbating. And in one of them, he's wearing a pair of Crocs, which is super famous.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, that's even... I was like, now it's disgusting on multiple levels.
Oh,
like,
God, I'm dry as a Sahara just thinking about it. Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, baby, show me your dick pic and your Crocs. Yeah. Like,
I bet they're orange, too.
I think they are orange. My friend Kate Lavin shared a picture in the podcasting group page because she's like, never forget. Like, look, Crocs are for kids and people in the medical profession. That's what I think Crocs are for. He's neither of those things.
When I broke my ankle, my doctor told me flip-flops and Crocs are the two types of shoes that get the most injuries. So they're not even safe. Like, get rid of that shit. Sorry, Crocs people.
Sorry, Crocs people. I'm sure there's Crocs fans out there. The Croca fans or whatever the fuck they call themselves.
What was it also before that? It was Birkenstocks. Remember that? Like, everybody had Birkenstocks. Yeah. I could never break those fucking things in.
I have never owned a pair of Birkenstocks.
They're hideous, but I was like, well, they must be really comfortable because there's people who wear them every day. Yeah. And I could never, it would just tear at my feet. My feet were like, fuck this. No.
Yeah. No, never done it. If y'all are looking for comfortable shoes, though, I have a whole bunch of Allbirds and they're fucking rad. I love my Allbirds. They're so comfortable. They're like slippers, but they're not. They're shoes.
I have my fuzzy slippers.
Well, that's appropriate because you're in your house. Yeah. So eventually Brett admitted to leaving her these voicemails, but he denied that he sent the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure, Brett. Right. The NFL investigated Brett for harassment, and surprise, according to them, they couldn't prove that he actually sent the photographs to her. I don't think the NFL really investigated because he's a brand. He's a brand to them. So, you know, I'm sure they didn't do their due diligence. So he was found not to be in violation of NFL's personal conduct policy, but he was fined $50,000. For failing to cooperate with the investigation. It's a real slap on the wrist considering he made $11.6 million that year.
Wow.
You're a naughty boy, Brett.
Brett, can we talk to you? No. Oh, okay. You probably didn't do anything anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You have to pay $50,000.
It's like nothing to him anyway. So a few months later, in January 2011, he filed his retirement papers with the NFL for real this time. He really did retire. But then two more women came forward. Christina Scavo and Shannon O'Toole had worked as team massage therapists for the Jets. And they filed a lawsuit suing Brett Favre and the Jets organization for sexual harassment. The women claimed that he propositioned them via text message for a threesome, because he's gross. Ugh. When they complained, they weren't rehired. They were let go. So
why don't women talk?
Yeah.
Why don't women say anything? Why didn't you just call your boss? Why didn't you do this?
Yeah. This is why.
Why? That's why.
Ugh. So the suit, which was seeking unspecified damages, said that the Jets fostered a hotbed of sexual harassment, sexism, and inappropriate behavior. These two women and then Jen Steiger that I mentioned earlier, these are just three women that have come forward.
Right.
You know that there's a ton of them that didn't come forward or that lost their jobs because they said something. There's more. Mm-hmm. There's more. I 100% believe there's more women than these that he harassed. It's gross. He invited both the women. So this is via text. He invited both the women back to his hotel room. She said at first, like one of the women just said, like, it's just inappropriate. And then it got nasty. And he would like text and be like, I'm all alone. I'm just kind of lonely tonight. And I have bad intentions.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Like, gross. So one of the women, Christina, turned him down, like flat out no, and then told her husband, and her husband called Brett Favre and demanded an apology.
Did he apologize?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
And then both the women lost their jobs.
Fuck that.
And I was like, good on the husband, though.
Yeah, good on him. Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually the case was settled and none of the details were released. And of course, Brett Favre denied any wrongdoing because he's a fucking creep. But the texts are there and he sent them. Here's some other awful shit. So this one, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, CB, who gave us the tip about this one because I might have missed it. In May 2020, it was revealed that this nonprofit organization called the Mississippi Community Education Center, which works with the Mississippi Department of Human Services, used federal welfare money to pay Brett Favre $1.1 million for multiple speaking engagements that he did not show up for. Yeah. So the money was budgeted for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. And a state auditor started running an investigation because there's all kinds of embezzling going on. And you can go to like Mississippi Today and Mississippi's, I think it's called Clarion Ledger. Mm-hmm. And they have a ton of articles, like they've covered this to death. There was all this embezzling going on. Brett Favre's not involved in all that embezzling, but there was all this embezzlement going on.
And they managed to find him.
And they managed to note, they found this, that the audit says that Brett Favre was paid first $500,000 in December 2017 and then $600,000 in June 2018. This was in exchange for one public service announcement in three speeches he never made.
Oh my. He didn't make the announcement?
He did do the public service announcement, but he didn't do the speeches.
Jesus. And he got a million? Yeah.
Yes.
From a nonprofit?
Yes.
Oh, what an asshole.
Isn't that? I know. He's such an asshole. So after he was contacted by the state auditor, Brett actually returned the $500,000 that he claimed. He would pay back the rest on installments. It's like layaway.
He's going through his money.
It's like criminal layaway or something. I'll pay you later. He didn't pay it back. He hasn't paid it back. I couldn't find anything that said he paid it back. And then I just found plenty to say he hasn't paid it back. He hasn't paid it back.
Oh my God.
So
he's blowing through his money.
He totally is. So let's pretend for a second that Brett didn't know that the money was coming from a public fund for needy families. We'll just give him the benefit of the doubt that that's a thing. Why is someone who made almost $140 million playing football accepting $1.1 million from a nonprofit to do charity work? That would be... It's fucking bullshit.
He's not the only one, but yeah, that's total bullshit. And people need to talk about it that way and state it that way.
Yeah, this is charity work. It wasn't like it was so... Also, $1.1 million is a lot for a public service announcement. Mm-hmm. That is not... That would not be the going rate for that, mm-hmm. I don't think. Brett Favre was also in the news again last week because he went on a rant on a sports podcast about how athletes need to stick to sports, which is one of my favorite things because, first of all, he had no problem like out there stumping for Trump, like mm-hmm. during the 2020 election, which when someone does the athletes should stick to sports thing, it's code for, I think, black athletes should just shut up and play.
Right.
And that's bullshit. And you're a fucking creep. And he hasn't said shit about like Caitlyn Jenner, who is running for governor here in California. LOL. I'm sorry. I could hardly even say it out loud without snickering, but I shouldn't snicker because it's serious. He hasn't said anything about her running. It's like it's a white conservative. So I guess it's fine for mm-hmm. an athlete to be into politics at that point. Just seriously, fuck this guy. And I wanted to end it with something that he says he was tricked. So I'm going to say it anyway.
I think he was tricked.
Okay. But I think I should say it anyway.
Yeah, say it.
It's kind of funny.
In a sick way, it's funny.
Yeah, in December 2018, Brett was tricked into recording an anti-Semitic video for an organization claiming to represent veterans. It was like two anti-Semitic groups. They paid him $500 through Cameo, which Margo loves. Margo loves some Cameo. She loves to get housewives to make calls, real housewives. Anyway, he read a script that was just included like all this like coded language and like dog whistle messaging. And after he realized he was tricked, he apologized.
Cameo got better about it.
Yeah.
I think they started training people because there are, there's these fucking white supremacist organizations, They have their words, their dog whistles, and they will pay high-powered people on Cameo. They were trying to do that to say things. And if you don't know what the lingo is, you're just going to repeat it. I mean, he probably does like a dozen of them a day. He probably needs to because he's blowing through all his goddamn money.
Right.
But I give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he knew about that. But it's still,
I hope that that's true. And I'm sure you're probably right. And some of the coded language is, and you probably wouldn't think anything.
No, it's sort of like, and the dog's going to the shelter and I'm going to grab some mac and cheese. Bye. I mean, then
bye.
Oh, grab your torches. It's in the, you know, go to the town square. Like it was just a white supremacist would know what that meant. I just made that up, by the way. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Margo just recorded an anti-Semitic video and she doesn't know it.
That's not my white power message. I don't have a white power message.
No. But like you said, I think he is like, he's probably just blowing through his money. He does have like a couple of, you know, good foundations and he is like really active in trying to, there's a lot of drugs that are being worked on for concussions and he is supporting that, which I think is really dope. Mm-hmm. But he needs to fucking keep it in his pants and not take pictures and not sexually harass women, and he needs to pay that money back to Mississippi. That's some bullshit. They should. His wife worked for a collection agency.
Can't she get it?
Can't she get it?
What? I'm sorry, the connection's really bad. Can't hear you.
But that's our creep, Brett Favre.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Dick.
He's such a dick. Ugh. Keep it in your pants, buddy.
Oh,
keep it
in your pants. Jesus Christ.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right. So are you ready to hear about someone who's not a creep?
I can't wait.
Okay. Let me take a sip of water and we'll talk about a famous non-creep from football. Sonia.
Yes.
Do you know who Gale Sayers was?
Nope.
Okay. Did you ever hear of the movie Brian's Song?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, so that's a very famous movie. When I was a kid, they had after school, they had movies at our school, middle school, when you're waiting for your bus to take you home. And they one day put on Brian's Song and we didn't know what it was. And by the end, people were like just sobbing helplessly.
Yes.
It's about two men that are they play for the Bears. The Bears.
The Bears.
It's Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo. Gale was a black man from Kansas. Brian Piccolo was a white guy. He was played by James Caan. Billy D. Williams played him in the movie. Gale Sayers in the movie. And spoiler, Brian Piccolo and him were best friends. They were roommates. And that was a big, I'm sorry, I should give more context. He was born in 1943. So this is in the mid 60s, 65 to 71. He played for the Chicago Bears. And they were the first interracial roommates on the road.
Wow.
It was like 1965 or six. They were the first roommates. And it's still like incredible to me because it's just incredible to me. Everything is political, including sports, you guys.
So, it's true. Yeah. Everyone's like, keep politics out of sports. It's always been political.
It's
Where
always
have you been?
It always fucking has been. So
yeah.
Shut your pie holes. Anyway, Gale Sayers was very quiet and thoughtful. And Brian was the loudmouth. He's the loudmouth Italian kid. And Brian was doing really well. And then he started feeling tired and not feeling well. And in the movie, there's a scene where Billy Dee Williams says to his teammates, guys, Brian is really, really sick. And that's when the sobs start happening. I know. Brian had cancer. And he died pretty quickly. It's 1970 when it happens, or 69, 70. When you had cancer then, boom. And
yeah,
there just wasn't as much treatment as we have nowadays. So he wrote a song, excuse me, he wrote a book about it in his first autobiography. It's called I Am Third. And it became the basis for Brian's song. And Gail Sayers went on to play a few more years in the NFL. In 1977, he was inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame, which is the youngest person to ever have that honor. He was 34 when he was put into the Hall of Fame. He was so famous from this movie that he started, he worked, he did some coaching, and he started a tech company in Chicago in 1984. Think about the long vision this guy has.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was to help young, smaller businesses kind of gain traction and learn new technology so they can go forward. He had a lot of charity work that he did, but a thing towards the end of his life that he really paid attention to was the concussions that happen with players in the NFL. He started realizing that he started losing his memory. And it was so bad, he forgot the names of his kids. He was forgetting his, he would sign something and then forget how to spell his name. And it happened pretty quickly for him. And once it was dementia. And then once it fully hit him, he suffered for many years with it. It was, his doctor said, it wasn't just getting hit in the head. It's just the shaking of the brain when they took him down with the force that they play the game in. So he stayed very healthy. If you saw him, you thought he was fine. He stayed very healthy, but he, you know, obviously he was suffering, and he entered into a concussion lawsuit against the NFL. The NFL has been fighting these lawsuits for years now. I don't know what's going to change the game. I had to stop watching football. I used to love it. Now I couldn't tell you one team from another because it just got too hard for me to watch it. And he unfortunately passed away September 23rd, 2020. Yes, that's when Gail Sayers passed away. He was 77. He had had this dementia for many, many years. It was really tough on his family. But his legacy lives on. His nonprofits live on. Brian's song lives on. Billy Dee Williams is still with us. Thank God.
Yes.
And that's our non-creep this week, Gail Sayers.
That is a really good pick.
Thank you.
I don't know if, like, if we can really express how big of a deal Brian's song was.
I don't know if it hit outside the rest of the world here in America in the 70s and 80s especially. It was on TV all the time.
Yeah. It was like a movie that people would talk that made men cry, kind of like a Shawshank Redemption, like people talk about Shawshank Redemption now. That was Brian's song back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, if men wanted to watch something to get in touch with their feelings, they would watch Brian's song, or they couldn't watch Brian's song because it was just too hard on their feelings. Like I can't watch Terms of Endearment sometimes because that's just like oh no.
I can't watch that one anytime soon. Yes. And I won't watch Brian's song anytime soon.
They did remake it. I shouldn't say the try, but there's some special chemistry between Billy Dee Williams and James Caan. It was just magic. And also back then TV movies, production wise, not that great, but they had really good writers and they used to get big ratings. I mean, these TV movies would get like 20 million people. Average to watch them. Brian's song, I'm sure, was even more than that.
Right.
For the time. It was a huge, huge, huge deal. And Gail Sayers, like, that was a part of his legacy for the rest of his life. And Brian was very young when he died. He was like 30 or something.
Jeez.
So
that's sad.
Fuck cancer. Fuck cancer to hell.
Seriously.
Well, that's ugh. One more ugh.
Ugh.
And that's our show this week. You can follow us on all the things social media wise. We love it when you use the Annie Potts gift from Ghostbusters. We got one. That's for your suggestions for creeps, but also for non-creeps, because we definitely need help in that area sometimes, depending on the subject. And you can, if you can leave us a review in iTunes, that would be totally amazing. Our Patreon page, that's where we post bonus episodes, bonus content. Sonya and I talking and shooting the shit and, you know, spilling
having a cocktail,
tea, having cocktails and cursing like crazy. It's fantastic.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Also, if you like the sound of our voices, you should check out our other show called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And Sonya, tell them what the next movie is going to be.
I'm super excited about our next episode because we are going to talk about Sliver from 1993. And I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I love it when we talk about 80s and 90s thrillers. And Adam Riske from F This Movie is going to join us. And those episodes are so fun.
He is the funniest person ever. I mean, I turn into a total gigglepuss when we're talking with him. I can't stop laughing. So that's
so
the next
fun
episode. And Sonya, where can they find you on social media and the internet?
You can find me at thesonyashow.com and The Sonya Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok.
You're burning it up on TikTok.
I am there to ruin it for the kids. Where can people find you, Margot?
On social media, you can find me at Brooklyn Fitchick for Twitter and Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I don't do anything with it. But if you want me to follow you back, it's Margot Donahue. Do something amazing. Maybe I'll, whatever. Anyway, I know nothing about TikTok.
I'm still learning.
And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And in the meantime, everybody, get your vaccinations. Please practice social distancing still. Be nice. Be kind. Don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.